still needs our prayer. He is better, but he still, he said he's going to come this morning if he could, but I said, well, you know where you're going to feel like it or not, so you keep praying for him because he wants to get back in church. And so you keep praying for Brother Jimmy Jernigan. And so we got many needs this morning. Many of those are in prayer. Maybe you got a request before we go to the Lord in prayer. I want to be sure of these, brother. Okay, let's remember this family. Amen. Well, he'd be waiting on us. He wouldn't get him to come back, would he? Let's pray for this family, this brother-in-law's family. Have some other requests before we pray. Okay. Let's remember Miss Howell. Any other requests? Austin. Yeah, let's keep praying for Austin. Just keep praying for him. Well, Christy said, what, a couple of nights ago, three nights ago, he slept about 3 hours at one time, which is, that's a long time. Mostly he slept any length at one time. Just go to sleep and wake back up, just short naps. So pray for him. Pray for them too. Stella, okay, yeah. Okay, let's do remember Stella. Amen. Any other requests? Let's stand and pray together and pray the Lord's blessing on the scripture. And I'll read scripture and try to share a few words, Lord willing. I want to ask Brother Calvin Sarras to lead us in prayers. Remember these requests, but lead us, Brother Calvin. Yes. Thank you, Father. We stand on your word. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Please. Yes. Yes, Lord. Help us. Oh, God. Move in our midst in the anointed service. Quicken your word, Father. Pray for Buddy. Pray for Jimmy. Pray for Buddy Kirk. Buddy Jester. Pray for Austin, God. We pray for every one of these. We pray for revival. Blessed for the angels, God. Hallelujah. Take your word this morning. Let it go forth. Accomplish that displease into the earth, Father. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, Lamb of God. We worship you, Father. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Got your Bibles? Turn with me to Acts chapter number 3. Be looking at some verses in chapter 3 and 4 this morning, Lord willing. No telling us how many times through the last 40 years I've preached out these chapters. But it seems like God just keeps taking me back and showing me something I haven't seen before. And a lot of it that I have. But thank God for His Word. It's still alive today, isn't it? Acts chapter number 3. Somebody said, why they call it the book of Acts? Well, I don't know why. And it was a book of actions, wasn't it? There's some things going on. Some works of God going on. I believe if we ever, you know, a lot of people said, well, we don't need none of these things today, but folks, we need the move of God like we've never had in our lifetime. We must have it. We need it. May God give us a hungry for it. Amen. I'll read a few verses in this and begin to look at some of this. And now verse number 3 of chapter 3, verse number 1 of chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple, the hour of prayer. I tell you what, a lot of things can happen when praying's going on. Hey. Being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of the temple that entered them, asked alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them alms. Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John. And Peter and John and Peter said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from of him. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bone received strength. And he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which set for alms in the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as a lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto him in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or own holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, denied him, in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God have raised from the dead, wherein we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, have made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him have given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, brethren, I want that though that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And ye shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers of prophets, shall the Lord your God raise up. Amen. Unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear the prophets shall he destroy from among the people. And all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and to thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God have raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one from you from his iniquities. I'm just going to go ahead and read a few more verses. Just bear with me. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple, this is chapter 4, just going on chapter 4, verse number 1. And the Sadducees came unto him, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid their hands on them, put them in hold, and the next day, for it was now evening time, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. You listen to that. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes
And Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deeds done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which set at naught of the builders. It says, which has become the head of the corner. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now there, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men, they marveled. They took knowledge of them, guess what? That they had been with Jesus. Folks, that's better than anything else you can get in this world. Just being with Jesus. Whew. We need some more of that. You know why they were working like the miracles and all God was working? Because they'd been with him. And you know why nothing's happening much amongst us today? We need to, because we, you know why? What the answer to the problem is? Get back with him. It's not in knowledge. It's not in smartness. It's in being with Jesus. Hallelujah. It says, and beholding the man, verse 14, was healed, standing with them, they couldn't say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these things? For that indeed is a notable miracle. Had been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straighten and threaten them that they speak no thenceforth no more in this name. But Peter, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than to God judge you. Said, you just be the judge yourself, but said, tell you what we got to do, what we going to do. For we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was about 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders and said unto them, and when they heard that, they lifted the voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thy God which had made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's therein, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? God already prophesied what he's going to do. The kings of the earth stood up and rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against the Christ. Afar of a truth against the Holy Child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pilate, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever they had thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, Lord, behold the threatenings and grant of thy servants with all boldness that they may speak thy word. Woo! By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. Honey, you don't have to be ashamed of the word of God. And we don't have to be ashamed of our blessed Lord. No, sir. And what we need to do is pray God fill us with him. I want to go back to one verse, and may the Lord bless the reading of his word and the I could read on the rest of it, but I'm going to stop there. That's almost two chapters. But you know what? God's already said more than I can ever think to say. His word is powerful. They did not want. They couldn't stand what was going on. And you can imagine, so religious that crowd was, that when a man, the Bible said he'd been crippled from his mother's womb, and God got him up. Got him up. Never had walked. Can you imagine somebody, hey, can you imagine somebody just getting up and go to walking, not just walking? The Bible said he walked, he leaped, he jumped, and he was praising God. Never walked. He'd been crippled from his mother's womb. You ever seen a baby just get up and go to walking and never make any stumbles or fall? I hadn't. Every time they'd fall, we'd have a few knocks before we'd get into it. But he got up. Never had walked, been crippled from his mother's womb. But he said in chapter number 3, verse number 4, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, such as I have, he said, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, I want to try to share with you a few moments this morning. We can't give that that we don't have. We can only give that that we do have. And that's the apostles. They were poor. Thank God they had power. We living in an hour, and the Bible says, you look at all, we thank God for this beautiful building. Wonderful, isn't it? But you know what? I'd be willing, and this is the truth, thank God for it. I'd be willing to go back to the old brush arbor, under it with a sawdust trail, to see some of the power that they saw then. And I'm not just saying that. If we could go back, but we don't have to go back to the sawdust trails, neither do we have to go back to the brush arbor days. We can just get a hold of God. He's the same. Whatever place we worship, wherever we go, he's the same. But we can have that same old power that got my grandma up, listen, nearly 100 years ago. I'm telling you, the same power we need today. But the disciples, they said, we don't have no silver. We don't have no gold. He'd been set. Now, they laid this crippled man at the gate. They laid him out there. You know why? Because, listen, he couldn't work. He couldn't have no way to make a living. And they laid him out there to get alms. And people would come by. They'd give him something to help him live. He couldn't get out there by himself. Somebody had to take him out there. But when Peter and John came by, guess where they were headed? They were headed to prayer meeting. At the hour of prayer. Yeah, I got to thinking, I said, Lord, do we have an hour of prayer? Listen, it's probably been so long. I'm talking about myself, too. Listen, it's so long since we prayed an hour. Listen, we'd scare ourselves to death if we stayed there that long. We need to get back to the hour of prayer and spend some time meditating and praying and seeking God. Listen, the Bible said, listen, what one of them last verses I just read, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Listen, on the day of Pentecost, you know what they were doing? They was meeting in one place, in one accord, in one place when the Holy Ghost came upon them. And they were praying, waiting. Jesus said, just wait until you've been endued with power. I'm telling you, we helpless and hopeless without the power of God. And they didn't have this, and they were poor, but they had the power of God with them. They said, we don't have any money to give you. We don't have no silver and gold. We can't help you on down the road that way. We can't help you financially. But I'm telling you, we got something better what you need. And the church, we need to get back to the church, to the place. We can offer people what they really need. It's not, listen, more silver and gold. I won't ever get one time. Someone kept coming by the house, and Carol was pretty frank. We helped them 3 or 4 times. You know what? For the last times it comes, she said, this is not helping you. It said she talked to him about, again about the Lord, and said, I'll stand on the car porch. Said, listen, no need me to give you any more money. No need me to help you this way. It's not helping you. You got to help yourself. How are you going to do it? You're going to have to turn to the one that can help you. What? We need. We can't give that if we don't have it. They had power, and they were willing. They knew there was power, but they knew where it was. It was in Jesus' name. What did they say? Oh, he said, you killed the Prince of Life. He's the one got life. He's the one that's got power. Said, you killed him. Said, you chose a murderer. Said, give us Barabbas. Crucify the Lord. Give us Barabbas. Listen, but I'm telling you something. You said, there's people doing that today? Certainly they're doing that. If you choose to go on your way, you choosing the Barabbas way, the way of the murder, the way of destruction, instead of the Prince of Life. Prince of Life. You killed him. Killed him. Destroyed him. That's what he told him. That's what Peter was saying. You killed the Prince of Life. Oh, yeah. And so he said, look on us. Look on us. He looked on them. He did. Expecting to receive something. I can assure you probably start with he was expecting what he was usually getting. Wasn't he? That's all he'd ever seen. That's all anybody ever had offered him. I'm going to tell you something. The normal thing that people's getting today is not happening. Not reform. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's a Prince of Life. It's new life that we need. Exactly. And so they had power to give them in Jesus' name. And that's not all. They had pardon to give them. You said they did? Yeah. Look what he said. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Oh, yeah. Times of refreshers are coming from the presence of the Lord. A little prophecy in that there, too, I'm sure, but I won't tell you one thing I get out of it. When you repent of your sins and get your sins blotted out, praise God, it's refreshing, isn't it? It's refreshment from the presence of the Lord. Somebody said, our time for refreshments. I'll tell you where you can get them. You can get them from the presence of the Lord. And it comes when you confess your sins and you're converted and born again. Get them sins washed, took care of in the blood of the Lamb, thank God. And get them blotted out. When you get that, hey, I'm telling you something. I can never forget tonight. I thought somebody took a ton of weight off my chest. I did. I said, well, my word. If I'd known this, I'd have liked to have been on this earlier. It's wonderful. I'll tell you something. When you get under conviction, you ain't going to never be converted. You get under conviction. You hear me and hear me well. You got to get convicted before you ever get converted. I was under conviction. Sometimes you can go under conviction for days and weeks and months. I did. Did you know I got where I was going down the road? I was afraid. I stayed on the edge all the time. What was you scared about? I said, well, I know the way right with God. You don't ever know when them bullets coming by you. What bullets? A vehicle. You don't ever know when you're going to leave here. I'll never forget one time I was going down between Marion and Bluntstown. I don't know if you're familiar with that road. I drove it for years, going in that way to Tallahassee. I was on an ice cream truck. If you've ever been down that way, you know there's a railroad track runs parallel with it. I reckon that's what you call it. It runs the same way the road's running. And I mean, it's just right there. I mean, just trees, right, just a few trees right there. It's closer than what this one runs to 90, except some places it gets closer, a lot closer. I was going along there about dusk, dark one nearly dark one night. I heard that right side of me, I heard that train blow that horn. thought he was coming this way. I thought I'd known hit that railroad track. Weren't that familiar with the road? I was like, yeah. My heart's jumped up here like that. I made a few promises to the Lord, and it weren't long. I was getting right with God. That wasn't the only time. I went to sleep one time. You ever been sleep driving? I did. You know where I woke up? I was on Highway 20 going in from Bristol toward Tallahassee. You know where I woke up? I was on the wrong side of the road facing the transfer truck. He blowed his horn. That woke me up. Barely had time to get over it. I'm going to tell you something. God uses all kinds of means to convict you and get you to the place you can be converted. You're talking about running scared. Now, thank God for the peace. Hallelujah. So they had power to offer. We don't have no gold to give you. We don't have no money to give you, but we got something better than that. We can give you the power of God. He said, God's got the power to heal you. God's got the pardon for you. To pardon your sins. And to forgive you your sins. I want to tell you something. That's worth more, the fella said, than your weight in gold by far. In fact, it's worth more than worlds. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you can gain the whole world and you can't, if I could, listen, it wouldn't profit you if you lose your soul. You know what's telling me? Your soul is worth more than the whole world. It is. Sure is. So he said, silver and gold, I don't have any. But such as I have. What you got to give? Hallelujah. Well, I read that verse over in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation. Huh? Not only. Can we get pardon and get peace? We can get peace and we can get this great salvation. Peter and John had it with them. They were part of it. They'd got in it. Amen. They said, we'll give you what we got. You ever had anybody tell you, say, hey, I sure would like to have some of what you got. Sure did. I tell you, my own wife told me that. She's the one who got me to church the night that I got converted. But you know what she told me? The Lord saved me. Loved the Lord, went and was baptized. She's about 9 years old. You know what she told me? She said, "You got something I never had." Why? How did she know that? She lived with me. I'm going to tell you something. Get saved. It won't just be your wife or husband annoyed. Cats and dogs annoyed. Your neighbors annoyed. All the rest annoyed. I'm talking about the real thing. It is real. She knew it. And first person too, she told that, she said, "Oh, you all right. You just thinking that." I never satisfied her. You know what? One night she walked down them aisles. Later I got converted. She said, "I know what I know in my own heart." And she said, "And I want to be baptized." She had been baptized. But you got to be baptized. You need to be baptized after you've converted. You know, I've said that. I believe to say this a lot of times. Now, I'm not against children making decisions. Don't get me wrong. You can get saved. I've known people get saved six, 8 years old. I know even they got saved, she's eight. You can get saved when you're young. But a lot of times, children make decisions. I'm just talking now. Make decisions, get baptized, still be lost. That's sad. Sometimes they're hard to reach. Sometimes it happens in Bible schools. I'm not against Bible school. But it happens a lot of times from pressure, from peer pressure, because somebody else is doing it. But it's got to be Holy Ghost drawn and Holy Ghost conviction and God's know that Jesus is the Christ. And he's the only one saved. Well, I don't know. Lord, just letting you off. I'm going to say something. Mustn't be needed. But I'm telling you, saved. Say, we got what such as I have, I'll give to you. And that's why he went over in the book of Acts. He said, you see how this goes together? Neither is a salvation any other. It's Jesus. For it's healing, for it's salvation, it's Jesus. Here's what bothers me. We live in a generation because maybe we don't see a lot of things going on as far as people being healed. But that's still going on too. I wouldn't be here today, I can tell you, if it weren't for the healing power of God. And some of you would. But I'm saying a lot of times we want to take this part. Neither the salvation, neither the name. But we don't want to take this first part. This, what he said. He got that crippled man up in his name. Folks, remember the verse of scripture when Jesus told the man that was sick, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. He said, which is easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, arise, take up thy bed and walk. Walk! He can say, get up and walk, just as good as he can say, thy sins forgiven thee. If we would believe, we say, this chapter brings out the fact that, listen, this man standing before you is standing here because of faith. Listen, Peter and John had faith to get him up. Peter picked him up. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. It said also his faith too. He believed what Peter and John was preaching. He believed what they said. When he said, rise, get up. Listen, glory to God. When Peter and him picked him up, this is ankle bone received their strength. I'm telling you, God can still do one just like he can do the other. He's still a God. Amen. He's still God. We need a move of God like we have never seen. Listen, this notable miracle. Just guess how many people, listen. The Bible said it was 5,000. I'll tell you something. It's going to take a move of God. Or we're going to keep saying, all we're going to see is deadness and dryness and no conviction, no conversion. We're going to have to start believing God and praying. If it's a miracle, let God perform it. Let's believe it, Lord. I'll tell you what's happened to us. A lot of people don't like this. We've been told that days of miracle over. We've been told it all stopped. I'm going to tell you something. It didn't stop with the disciples. No, sir. The church is still here. Amen. It stopped because we're lazy. We don't believe. We don't pay the price. Even the disciples, Jesus gave them power and authority to cast out devils and heal the sick, didn't he? And what happened? They come back to him and said, we couldn't do it. Yeah. Why couldn't we do this? Well, Jesus come, you know, when he was up on the mountaintop, listen, transfigured amongst the eyes of, you know, them up there, he come back down off the mountaintop, you know what he said? Why couldn't we do this? What Jesus told him? You know what he told his own disciples while he's in with them? He said, this kind, he said, because of your unbelief. He said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and what? Fasting. Prayer and fasting. That's what Jesus said. Sometimes we want the easy way out. It's going to take some dedication. It's going to take some prayer. Take some fasting. I guess I'll go back and put the tent up. I can remember when we had a tent up outside the office. Sawdust under it. Preaching it was hot. But you know what I'd do? It's right there outside where I was going to work every morning. Had me a prayer place. slip out in there. Pray. Mm-hmm. I remember back in the 70s when somebody was preaching revivals sometime every week and every other week, working all day. God had me fasting too. I'm saying that boastfully is behind us. Maybe eating one meal a day. But I'm telling you what God was doing. Why I'm saying as many as 14 saved in one night. Not even got saved. I know there's at least 14 got saved that night in one revival. Lord, I won't see it again. But I don't think it's going to come just to be floating around if we don't be willing to pay the price. Folks, I want to encourage us this morning. I'm not saying that to discourage us. I'm saying that to encourage us. Give us hunger. You know how my heart's been hungered and thirsting? Listen, to see a move of God again. See a move of God. When some people's really got a need, the deep down, the biggest need is not, most time, not physically. Not financially. You know what our need in this country? You know what the trouble is? It's heart trouble. Heart trouble. It's trouble that begins on the inside. Oh, my God, send revival. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Do send revival again. So we can't give that we don't have. So Jesus told his own disciples, this kind not going to go out. This kind of faith you're not going to have, and this kind of devil is not going to leave without fasting and prayer. That's where we need to go. You know, I don't know about you, but the Lord's been dealing with me something. It's that prayer and fasting. Exactly. I remember when we was going to have a revival. I believe we were still in the house. We was in the house in tent. We had every night we was having cottage prayer meeting. Y'all remember that, Brother Larry? Went over to Brother Buford's house. Miss Sue was coming, but he wasn't. Well, he got word we was coming. He wouldn't ever believe this, would you? He gets out and leaves. Well, we went on. She'd invite us, so we went on to her house and had cottage prayer meeting. What about a probably a dozen of us? We prayed. Well, Brother Sam Adam was preaching for us that week. I said, I got a fellow I want you to go with me to see. Went back over where he was hiding in the barn. He probably going to listen to this. He'll say amen to it. He'd tell you, he'd say so. Guess what? We went and hunted him up. And I don't have to tell you what Brother Samuel, he witnessed to it, buddy. Verse 8 or verse. I just sat back and enjoyed listening. Guess what? He came to church that night. We was in the house. We was having a revival in the house. You said in the house? Yeah, in the house. So we had one of them petitions in there. We had that biggest room there and had one down that way. Guess what? Well, I saw him at the end of the service what he had them hands up like, yes, surrender. You know what? Praise to pray. That's what to get the job done. It will. But you know, we're living so fast now. I hate to say it. We don't have time, do we? With all these conveniences. All these conveniences. Honestly, I believe the people, when they travel the mule wagon, wash their clothes with a wash pot. I believe they had more time for God. Had no electricity. Had no indoor bathrooms. Of course, had no air conditions. But they had time for God. They prayed. I say one of my uncles bursted appendicitis all night prayer meeting. So, very few doctors and they went to your home then. You know what happened to him that night? The doctor left and said he probably won't be alive in the morning. Too late, nothing we can do. I'm talking about a long time ago. Well, guess what? Got to hold Ma and Pa's heart, Daddy said. Brother Donnie, they called an all-night prayer meeting. People come from the community. Came in to pray for him. Guess what? Way in the night, he started getting better. His fever started leaving. They sent for the doctor. He came back. Expecting to find, he thought he'd find him dead. He said he stood there with tears in his eyes. The doctor did and said, it's a miracle. It's got to be a miracle. You know why I'm standing here this morning? Some of y'all prayed all night. And I'm serious. I didn't know it. I wasn't in no shape to pray. But I don't know if you knew this, but people were called all over the place. Some of them stayed in that prayer room all night long, they told me later, at the hospital, praying God would have mercy upon this old preacher. That's why I believe he did. That's why I want to keep preaching his word, and I pray God left me here for a purpose. I want to see revival. I want to see revival before he comes. He may come before it comes. He can come anytime. But let's be praying. Let's be seeking. Let's be knocking upon heaven's door, looking for a revival. May I say just a few other things and we're going to close. If you don't have the love of God in your heart, shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, how are you going to give anybody any love? Peter and John said, silver and gold, if we don't have any love for God, and we don't let the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, then the love of God not going to flow out of us. But I'm telling you, if the love of God's flowing out of us, listen, we can give it to others, it'll have effect upon them. If the peace of God's ruling and reigning in our hearts, others will see it and realize and get from it and draw from it. The grace of God flowing out of our hearts. We need to get full of God, full of His Spirit, full of His power, full of His Word, full of His Gospel. The Gospel is the power of God and the salvation to him that believeth. Therefore, others can see Jesus in you and in me. Did you know the average person does not read this book? They sure don't. Did you know that you and I are written and known of all men? Did you know that most of the Bible people's going to get with the rhema is what they see in you and I? Do we have the Word of God in us that we can? Do we have the life of God in us that can flow out of our lives into other people and bless them? Do we have the Word of God so hid in our hearts that, listen, we can give it to them and listen when they ask for the Word of God? Suppose someone asks you about some of the Word of God and you don't have a Bible with you. You got it in here. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Sin will keep you from this book, but I tell you what, this book will do, it'll keep you from sin. Of course, if you're already out in it, you don't want to get in this book much. It'll convict you. After I got converted, I picked up the Bible. I said, now I know what Daddy was talking about. Now I know what them other believers were talking about. Never cared anything about it before. But when I got born again, I was like a newborn baby. Nobody had to tell. Listen, a baby comes in normal, he's going to want a nurse. His mother, you're going to put a bottle in his mouth one.
And he's naturally going to know how to take that. Why? So he got fixed it. And when you get born again, it's just as spiritual and natural spiritually to desire the sin, sin, miracle of the Word. You know why? That you might grow thereby. It's food to grow on. Sure is. Food to grow on. Hallelujah.
So when Peter and John saw him, they looked at him quickly. I'm going to just say this. Look on us. He was hopeful. Well, they said, look on him. Look in what he said he was helpless. First of all, he was a helpless one. He couldn't help himself. Then he got hopeful. Then the next thing, verse 4, he was helped. Peter picked him up. The next thing, he was healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. He was healed. I'm glad that he was. And that's not all. Folks, he was happy. Joyful. And I know he was peaceful. Hallelujah. You know what? When you meet somebody on the street tomorrow, or you go somewhere to work tomorrow, I'll tell you what people are looking for. They're not looking for a mullet girl. They're not looking for somebody that looks like you've been, I heard old Brother Yarber saying, eating briars or something sour. You know what they're looking for? Looking for somebody that's got some peace and some joy, and listen, it's happy and joyful in the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, we need to get there. Lord, you've done something for me. You sure have. You really have. You've really done something for me. Hallelujah.
So he said, closing verse number 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Amen. So I'm telling you, they really had something, Peter and John did, to offer. They sure did. One money, they poor. But they had pardon. Mentioned it a while ago. Pardon for your sins. They could be blotted out. I want to tell you something. Thank God our sins are gone.
You know, once in a while, I'll somebody remind me something happened 55 years ago. I said, well, I ain't worried about that. It's been gone. Amen. Oh, no. I'm not going to dwell on that. No, I'm not going to dwell on that. It's under the blood. And I want to thank God. We'll repent. The Bible said, he said, repent and be converted that your sin may be blotted out. Look what it said in verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. You know what? I got blessed of the Lord. You know why? Praise God. He turned me away from iniquities. Got me out of the depths of sin. Turned me away from iniquities. Hallelujah. Well, I don't want you to get too excited about it, but it's so. Hallelujah. My sins are gone. Been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Ain't never going to remember no more. Never. Never going to remember no more. Hallelujah. You know what? Don't you leave this life. You don't need to leave this place this morning if you don't know absolutely 100% sure that your sins have been blotted out. Because you don't want to leave this world and face a holy God with sin still on your account. You don't want to go there. No way. We can't forgive ourselves. It's him. His blood can cleanse us from all our sin. And he blessed us. raised him up from the dead, Jesus. God got him up. And God blessed us in turning us away from our sin. Brother Donnie, blotted him out. Not only did he blot him out, forgive us for him. Never remember no more. But he turned us away from him. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. If you've been really forgiven, you really repented, been really sorry for your sins, I'm going to tell you, you won't like them no more. You hate them, and you'll love righteousness. I'm not saying you won't be tempted. Neither will I be tempted, nor tested and tried. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just telling you, we won't want to wallow around in them no more. Why? Because he's turned us away from them. Hallelujah. And given us a new life. Jesus Christ, he'll forgive you. I like what he told the woman when they brought her to him, and they caught her in adultery. Woman, they was going to stone her. Jesus said, go ahead, you without sin, cast the first stone. Guess what? Well, nobody left to do no stoning. He's the only one that could ever done it anyhow. He's the only one that without it. But you know what? I like what he said. Neither do I condemn you. He just said, go. Did he say, go keep sinning? Go. He didn't say that, did he? And sin no more. He said, quit it. Turn from it. And you know what? If God's turning you from your wickedness, what a blessing it is. Our Jesus, what a blessing he is. Praise God. That's my Lord. He's there willing. He's not there to hurt us, to harm us. He's there to forgive us, turn us away from it. What a Savior. I'm going to tell you, best life you'll ever find, ever have, is a life in Christ. Oh, there's so many messages in this. I'm going to try to hush. But there's over here where he said, kill the prince. He killed the prince of life. Oh, listen. That's what he said, didn't he? Verse 14. But you denied the Holy One and the just. Desire to murder to be granted unto you. Kill the prince of life whom God hath raised from the dead. Whereof we are his witness. And it's through faith. It's in his name. Through faith in his name, this man made strong. Whom you see and know. The faith which is by him have given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Thank God. You know what? Thank God we still got that Prince of Life. Why? God raised him from the dead. He's alive. He wants to give life. And if you got it today, if you got life, I'm going to tell you what he wants you to have. He wants you to have it. Have it more abundantly. I want to tell you. You know what the devil tell people? Oh, you don't want to be no Christian. You can't have no fun. You can't enjoy life. Best life ever. I ain't just saying that. Some of you say the same thing. We've been on both sides, haven't we? Best life ever, brother Vinny. Best life. Best life. Best life. So what's God want us to have? Not only life eternal. He wants us to enjoy that life now. Sometimes people talk about, well, I just can't wait to get to heaven. Well, I'm looking forward to it too. They say, I just can't wait to get to heaven. How wonderful it's going to be. I say, well, glory to God, we can live in some of it now. You said, I just got too many problems. I got too many trials. I got too many things that happen. No, listen, I'm telling you, we can live. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it, what? More abundantly. I'm crazy sometimes. They may hear me humming and singing and whistling and what else. They may hear me. They don't watch it. They may hear me praising God. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. Life's a wonderful thing. You know why? We got the Prince of Life. Do you enjoy life? You know what's wrong with a lot of people? Don't have no meaning in life. They don't have nothing. They say don't have nothing. They say they don't have nothing to live for. We got everything to live for. He's alive. Stand with me, if you